The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Where do you live?
We're in Colorado now. We used to live in Cali.
See, the deal is, if you have three kids, we're fucking moving.
You move to the boonies, yeah. And they'll just run around and figure it out.
I talk about this all the time. I'm like, we work in the busiest city in the world. This is all very ego-driven. Like, so to say, I don't want a third child, because it's so expensive, then that's on me to make lifestyle changes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's absolutely something that I could do.
Make it happen.
But I couldn't do it from here.
Right.
Like, I talked to someone yesterday, and he's like, oh, yeah, I love my son's preschool so much. You know, da, da, da. And I can't remember how the price came up, but it's $2,800 a month for preschool.
That's what we were paying for our oldest when we lived in Laguna Beach. And I was still like, this school isn't even it. Like, his friends are sleeping over and stuff are like, not the friends I want him to have.
Oh, well, that's also, you know, the thing. Then they're going to school with a bunch of assholes.
Right. And I was like, nope, we're moving to the country and you're going to have no friends. You're going to hate me. But when you get older, you're going to be a good person.
Where in Colorado are you?
It's a town called Dolores. You would have never heard of it.
Where do you fly into?
Durango or Telluride.
Cool.
Yeah. 800 people.
So
like,
beautiful.
We literally went next. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's totally different reality. Colorado has a really positive energy.
It does. We're on 70 acres too. So we're just like, we don't meet our neighbors. You know what I mean? We're just in our little bubble. It's so nice.
How far is the closest store?
4 minutes.
Little
market. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's like a mini Sedona, like a little, you know, mountain town. Like, I mean, by all means, we need more restaurants and stuff like that. We fly here and we're like, give me sushi, you know? But other than that, it's great. We love it.
Oh my God, that's so nice.
Go out and like pick our, you know, fruits and veggies. You know, I'm not a homesteader, but I love that stuff.
Yeah. How did you start this career path?
In my darkest hour, basically. I was a child of trauma and had a bunch of things that happened to me. And I remember just this like horrible moment. I was dating this guy and he became physically abusive. He had been like mentally, you know, and bless his heart, I hope he's in a good place now. But he threw glass at me. And I don't know why, that was like my wake up. And I dropped to my knees and I just gave myself over to humanity. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how that looked. I thought I was going to join the Peace Corps or something. But I was such a helper in my life, but I couldn't help myself.
Mm.
And my life just flipped upside down. And I started healing, finally, like for the first time, genuinely healing my trauma and my mind and what I was choosing and just dysfunction. And life completely opened up for me. And then I was like, I need to be able to do this full time. So I quit my job and, you know, totally on an act of faith and figured it out and became an entrepreneur. I was not a born entrepreneur by any means.
What were you doing before?
I was selling educational programs for a private university.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, but it was really cool because the slogan for that school was find your purpose.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
So it all came together, but bless them because they got the worst version of me towards the end of my career there because I was like, I can't do anything anymore. This sucks. I hate
You're like,
this.
My purpose is not you. I gotta go.
So I quit and started my company, Authentic Living. And then it just like, it took off for the past decade.
What was your process of healing that childhood trauma? I mean, because I think that's just so overwhelming to so many people. And you talk consistently about avoiding pain, which I will get into. But, you know, what was that process like for you?
I think the biggest thing was taking it a step at a time. Because sometimes when we talk about healing trauma, we're like, great, let's sit down and like rehash all the shitty things that happened to us.
I know so many people that will not go to therapy because they're like, I don't want to talk about...
It's heavy.
20 years worth of stuff, you know, just the idea of this giant thing that needs to be unpacked is too much.
Yeah. And it feels overwhelming. And that's probably been one of my greatest acts of work actually now is like the therapist that I train, because I'm like, we don't have to go back to the trauma. Most people can't access all the trauma anyways. Their subconscious is protecting them. But what if we just work on the belief that's sabotaging them today. And so instead for me, it was getting triggered in the now. What am I getting triggered about? What am I telling myself about it? And it always rooted to something in the past. But instead of me going, oh, it rooted to that time where I was, you know, sexually assaulted or something, I'm just like, I'm feeling really unsafe. Am I actually unsafe? And through that really like gentle process daily, it started to neurologically rewire me. So I wasn't having the reactions, because all we want to do is stop reacting to life based on our traumas.
Totally.
So then let's just deal with the reaction instead of the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course. And you're also, I feel like a lot of people then like create a whole story that's not there.
Totally.
Around all of that.
Yeah, because especially like once a trauma has happened, it energetically stamps in. And unless someone has like written about how it happened, it starts to take new forms. It becomes a different monster over the years. And the way it shows up, it bleeds into like every area of life. So no wonder it feels so big, you know?
How do you start a company based on these kinds of practices?
Dude, it was so intuitive. It really was. Again, I was not like a born to be entrepreneur. I'm great at it now, but it was, what does the world need today? How can I give it? Mm-hmm. And then once I started, you know, to make money off of it, like, what's it worth? Like, if I can get someone, and this is kind of what I got known for, was if I can get someone 20 years of therapy in 4 hours, what's that worth? Right.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of why I went high ticket as well with my programs and stuff, was because we were creating change so fast.
I mean, this was like a gift.
Totally.
Wasn't it?
I mean, God's got my back all the way. Like, it just flows through me. I can't say that it's me, but I think my like deep love for humanity and having been through the things I've been through and knowing how painful and lost I can feel as a human, I know how other people feel. And I want no one to feel that way. So I think that like drove me forward, and maybe like a higher power was like, okay, like you've got integrity. We'll give you this gift, like go out into the world and help people, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's, you know, taken care of me since.
At what point did you meet your husband?
Very early on. So I was, I mean, like right after I had that moment where I was like, I'm done with this toxic relationship. He showed up, and he's an amazing entrepreneur, marketer, you know, energy healer, all of the things. So we just were like two little peas in a pod, like,
cool.
Let's do our purpose work together. So it worked out.
So your second book just came out.
Yes. The Promise.
The Promise. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
What's the difference between both books?
So I went heavy on manifesting, and I really think manifesting sounds sexier than heal your trauma. But I think trauma's going to get sexy soon. I really do. I think people are getting it in a different way. But for me, I was actually Mandy Morris helping men start over at the very beginning, helping men heal their trauma, jumped into manifestation, just felt divinely guided because people would talk about it. So although I wasn't teaching manifestation like a wave the magic wand thing, it was let's heal our trauma. So technically my second book, but my first like truly published, my first was self-published, is 8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's manifesting, but it's like actually doing the work to create the life you want.
You do a really good job of applying. I think a lot of people now, manifestation is so common that it's not perceived as being super woo-woo anymore.
Yeah.
But I think you always do a good job of finding the intersection between like science.
Yes, yeah, science, psychology, all that.
Yeah, because I mean, it's so funny. Like the more that you like, you know, I had someone on the podcast a long time ago who had like studied like the science of happiness.
Yeah.
And I was like, if you really get to like the science of it, like we all just want to be connected.
Yeah.
And like we all like respond off of each other's vibrational energies.
Totally.
It just ends up being God stuff.
Yeah.
It's like
it really
very
does.
Funny.
Ancient wisdom. When people are like, oh, I love the science and psychology. I'm like, cool. But it's just like reiterating what ancient wisdom already knows.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Like, but you just have to serve it to people in every lane.
Yes.
So you're not turning like one person off to
exactly.
it. You know?
Exactly.
Because otherwise someone's like, this is too woo-woo for me. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Like, let's just talk about the exact same thing, but here's the science.
So here's what your doctor would say.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of my attack on it, at least with the 8 secrets. And then the promise is like, I keep calling it my love letter to humanity. It's like, how do we take all of the human experience and all the traumas and the craziness and the chaos and the pain and the just the false perceptions? Mm-hmm. And how do we like blow it open and see it from like a divine lens? Mm-hmm. And it's just one simple shift to create. I mean, of course, manifestation naturally happens in that state, but it is, how do we really look at life through like God's eyes or through love's eyes, mm-hmm. divine, without, you know, bypassing anything, of course, but like, how do we just see the full juicy panorama of the human experience?
How would you describe manifestation? And can you elaborate on it a little bit? Because I, you know, I'm very aware that I could manifest bad things for myself as well as good. And so can you explain that to people? Because I don't think a lot of people, I think they think they're going to go to bed at night and be like, I want a boyfriend. I want to get rich. Like, I want to do that. And if I say it enough times, it's going to happen. But like, let's talk about like actual manifestation. Then we can talk about what you talk about, which is the state, like, you know, not avoiding pain through the human experience, unlocking that. And then like what actual manifestation looks like.
Yes. So for me, what I've looked at with manifestation is we're manifesting all the time. So the idea that someone's like, I'll just sit here and pray for 10 minutes about how I want their next Ferrari or whatever. And I'm like, go for it. Like, I love that for you. However, the reason you're not getting it is what you have to focus on. That's what manifestation is. Because if we are actually, we're energetic beings. It's not like we shut off until we die, at least. We're always vibrating, if you will. And so there's always output. There's always a conversation that we're having with like this proverbial universe. And so if that's the case, then let's just figure out what the conversation actually is. And so a lot of the work becomes not what we're saying we want consciously, but what's happening in the unconscious. So I call it the subconscious real. Like, what is it? You can say, you know, all day long, I want the car, I want the soulmate, I want the whatever for an hour a day. But the other 23 hours of the day, your subconscious is saying, we can't have this. We'll lose everybody if we have it. Money is evil. We're not worthy, you know, fill in the blank.
Or also, I think, and I've been experiencing this with a lot of friends lately. If you come from this from like a jealous, bitter place.
Yeah.
Like I see so many people who are like, I don't know what's going on in my life right now. Like, and I can't get this and my kid's doing this and I'm not working. Da, da, da. And I'm like, every time I even look at your Instagram, it's like so negative, you know, like
just breathe your life into
calling
it,
calling anything wonderful into your life.
Yeah.
Like you're going to call in not a lot and probably bad things.
Yeah. That's actually kind of a part of a chapter in The Promise is like this whole gossip thing or taking our judgments back. And like, what does that look like? Because like judging or just the negativity, it, as silly as it sounds, people are like, be positive. I get it. There's of course a science to it, as we were just saying, but when we sit in that negativity, we are calling it forth just because, and we could keep it simplistic, just because that's all our brain's looking for.
Totally.
Is proof that our life is, you know, it's shitty. And
proof.
So then, yeah. And so that's our brain just because whatever we ask it, it will find. So instead we have to go, okay, well, let's look for the good. And how do we do that authentically? Of course, not like let's pretend to be positive, but there's a beautiful magic to that. But I think most often people are like, yeah, but manifestation is supposed to be super easy. And I'm supposed to be able to wave a magic wand. It's supposed to drop on my head. And I'm like, that's not manifestation. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to work, period. We all have trauma. We all have stuff we're going to bring to the table. And we have to deal with that so that it gets out of the way and it stops blocking the manifestation from coming.
You are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from Jenny Kane. I finally found a uniform I'm completely obsessed with. I've been wearing Jenny Kane for years because she's just like a quintessential California babe who started a brand that is the essence of California. Their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Super minimalist, very effortless, but also completely refined. They have luxury cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories and elevated versions of your everyday basics. Not to mention their incredible home essentials, which fill up my TV room. I mean, I cried when I got my Jenny Kane couch. They are here to help you live your best life yet. The sweaters are a quintessential must-have item. This time of year, I'm obsessed with their cotton collection because it can be like cold at night, but so hot in the day. And so the cotton is just like the perfect layering piece. The oversized cotton fisherman and the cotton cocoon are perfect everyday pieces. Jenny Kane believes in the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless designs. So you can curate a wardrobe that never goes out of style. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code BEST15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JENNIKAYNE.com, promo code BEST15. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com when you use code BEST15 at checkout. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
Welcome to Being Her, the ultimate guide to living your best life as her. Being Her is a podcast that focuses on the journey of womanhood through exploring feminine energy, relationships, purpose, and self-discovery. Being Her aims to inspire you to become the best version of yourself. Join me, Margarita, as I share my insights in solo episodes and invite remarkable women to share their experiences, perspectives, and insights in interviews. Together, we'll explore their lives, careers, and their journeys, offering guidance on how to live your best life as her.
What are any of your like day-to-day tips for somebody listening to this? I mean, it's very easy to say like, okay, we need to like not avoid our trauma so we can like call in the right thing. I mean, like, how are we doing that?
So
is this therapy? Like, do we need to journal? Like,
sometimes, yeah. Uh-huh. And journaling I freaking love. So I'm all for
it. A private session with you.
Yeah, right. I think the big thing, if we were going simplistic, is remembering our emotions. So emotions are like the precursors to consciousness, because you can have a thought and the thought alone isn't really going to manifest, right? But if it is a thought that triggers an emotional response, it is literally causing maybe neurohormones to release. It's causing
This is my husband.
Is it? You're like, oh, here we go, hen.
Yeah, like I'll see, like he'll get like a text and I'm like,
oh, and it just
woos.
Yeah.
And so I keep, poor guy, I've been like really, really putting him on blast in the podcast lately. But he works so hard and he's like trying to call in all this stuff. And I'm like, you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
Because anytime a little thing happens, you make everything very emotional. You project onto the situation. You assume the worst.
Yes.
You're really going down this deep hole. I said, you're not in any place to be receiving.
So you bring up a really interesting point, because when we set out at like a manifestation or we say, I'm ready for the new job, I'm ready for whatever, we've already jumped. So energetically, we're already in process of moving towards the manifestation. But a bunch of shit is going to show up along the way to say, this is what is not going to be able to come with you once you get there. This is what needs to be healed or whatever. So I think a lot of people go, oh, I'm getting all these bad emotions, or I just got a bill in the mail when I said I was manifesting $1 billion, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, because how are you going to handle it? It's not about getting the manifestation. It's about maintaining it.
Mm.
And you can't maintain it if you don't have a foundation underneath you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge piece of it. So kind of going back to your question is, what emotions are running through us and do we feel in charge of them? Because I think a lot of us
We feel in charge of them? It's amazing.
Yeah, because they just come out, right? You're like, I'm triggered, and immediately it's just a flood. He sees a text and it's right. Mm-hmm. And then literally those neurohormones are causing his vibration to get funky monkey. And then all these crazy things show up, right? But it's what we tell ourselves. There's this space in between what happens and the actual trigger or the emotion that gets released. And that is the meaning that we place. And that is so important to manifestation. No one's talking about it, because I think we are in control of our emotions because they happen so fast. But there is actually, even if it's a fucking millisecond, there is something that happens in between. It's the meaning we place.
Mm.
Before that, it's just like stimuli. So instead we go, let me, instead of what I'm already calling it, like I got the bad text, or you know, someone yelled at me, or my boss is angry, whatever it is, we go, okay, what else can this mean? We're just trying to broaden the perspective from, I call it the human lens, to the divine, to be like, maybe they had a bad day. Sometimes that's enough to just diffuse an emotion from coursing through our body. Or I'm bigger than this. Or, okay, thank God.
I have to do this a lot with Instagram.
Do you?
Yeah, because people will make it, I'm sure. I don't know how, it must be very interesting for you to navigate through the world. Like, when I see mean comments on other people's posts, when I see how, and people fighting with each other on like, oh, cute mom's recipe, and some other mom is like,
you're like, how?
That's unrealistic for me and my lifestyle. And then another mom's like, but maybe it's not for her, you know? And then,
yeah.
I mean, if you look at any general Instagram post or any new, anything, it's people fighting. It's really negative comments. Or TikTok is videos of girls getting famous for talking shit about other influencers.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Or the comments that like I get on, like somebody made like a mean, somebody took something very wrong. I did an episode. I've been talking about how healthy I've been eating during this pregnancy because I suffer with PCOS and prediabetes, right? So someone made a comment saying this was a 45-minute episode about your eating disorder. It was really mean, and they made their name, I hate you.
Oh, so you're like, well, this is what you do for a living.
I was like, and I'm talking about it right now, but I've had to just, it pops in my head and I have to say, I have to really do a lot of work here. Why do I care so much?
Yeah. So
how do I give them grace about it?
Right.
And now you tell me everything else I need to do.
Okay. If that happened to me, I would probably first, because humor is a great way to do it.
I wanted to post it on Instagram and be like, you fucking
asshole.
I'll eat
you up. Yes, I get it. No, I think if I would have given it any gas, I would have been like, thanks. That one only cost $45 to pay them to do that. Thanks for the clout. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I probably would have just made a joke of it. But honestly, and we spend millions online on ads every month. And so we get a lot of trolls and just.
Oh, yeah. Because you're just the random people. people that see it. And I'm talking about, stupid.
Yeah, they're like manifestation that we're like, wow, you've never even lived a day in your life. Whatever. I've heard everything. And when I first started doing ads, I was like, people are so mean. I was telling my husband, and he's like trying to protect me. He's like, it's okay. Babe. And I'm like, no, you know what? This is a really cool growth for me. Cause I was like, some things, if someone said like, you're evil or whatever, I'd be like, whatever. Like, cause I don't resonate with that.
Totally.
But if they were like, oh, you're stupid, or something that I heard in my past, those were the things that would trigger me. Or, you know, you're a dumb blonde, so you don't know what you're, whatever. And I'd be like, oh, I've got to tell them all my degrees and all my, and then I was like, whoa, but this is actually a gift. It's showing something unhealed in me because it's provoking an emotion.
Mm.
And so then I could see it in a completely different light and go, I do not, one of my biggest triggers is feeling misunderstood. That was one of my biggest triggers. So I'm like, no, they don't understand. Like, I have a pure heart. I don't just want their money or like, oh, why don't they know like all this stuff? And I was like, okay, that's what I work on then. They beautifully, even though they showed up like an asshole, they beautifully showed me what I still, what I need to do to further become whole. Because I think when you know yourself, people can say whatever and it's literally water off a duck's back.
I know. I need to figure out why I want people to like me so much and then where that comes from.
Well, and that's probably a root need. Like, who doesn't want to be liked? That could be just your need of connection, your need of love, your need of safety.
I think it's probably intense need of connection. I always am like...
So anything that feels like the opposite, you're like, no, I don't want that, right? Mm-hmm. But then again, you can say, okay, I probably had some connection like issues in the past and that's why it's, you know, hitting me hard now. So it's coming up to be healed. What can connection look like for me now? Do I actually seek connection from people who are going to tell me I have a fucking eating disorder, right? Like, no, I don't. So let me just broaden this understanding of what's actually showing up here. Let me send that person love, or at minimum, just say I send no energy to that person. Because I've noticed when you don't gas somebody up, they just stop showing up, you know?
I know, it's so funny. If you don't look at these things, or if you don't, you know, my mom's really good about doing this where like, she will like stop watching the news for a long time.
So good.
You know, and it's like, and we go back and forth with it because it's like, it's obviously important to understand like clearly what's happening in our political system. There's wars going on. Like, you want to be well versed, but if there's nothing that we can actively do about it right now,
right?
Then she's like, it's really, I wake up and my vibration is off for the day.
Totally.
And it's not like her, she deserves to have this, but you know, you have to have a little bit of a boundary of what, you know, to protect yourself.
Well, and I don't know, this may turn some people off, but this is where I'm at in my journey with that, because I do not watch the news. Mm-hmm. Like, I will get my information elsewhere and I will pray for the world every single day, but I'm not going with the doom and gloom with it. And I've realized for myself, because of my work, and I'm working with trauma victims, I'm working with the people who are doing...
You can't take all that in.
No, I've already got my heaviness situated, but also more importantly, I know that what I understand of manifestation is, again, I know it sounds stupid, but my consciousness, my energy going towards something can contribute to it. And so I think we accidentally get like this energetic transference with dark things when we can't, like if I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, what is happening in the Middle East? Like, oh my, and I'm just stressing, and I'm not doing something about it. Or if I'm not capable that day, I have to tone it down because I'm going to contribute to the darkness, because all I'm doing is adding stress to the situation, right? So instead I have to take a few steps back and go, okay, how can I actually be of service? What does this look like? And I think it's okay that looks different for everybody. Not everybody can go into the tunnel and save the child. We need someone out to hug the child when they come out. We need someone to hug the person who got the, you know what I mean?
Well, that's been my approach with it, especially because everything that's been going on the last, I'm pregnant. So, you know, I was sitting in my car watching videos of children in Palestine or children that were taken by Hamas. And my mom would find me, like I'd pull in the driveway after, you know, or my husband would find me like just sobbing in the car.
Yeah.
And they would be like, you can't look at this stuff. Like, it's not good for you and the baby. And I would say, well, what makes my baby better than those babies?
Right.
Like, that's not, and they're like, well, it doesn't work. Like, they both were like, it doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? Like, you need to reserve, protect the fetus that's growing inside of you, of course. Unfortunately, like, he's going to have his own traumas when he comes here.
We all do.
Yeah. And it's probably going to be from one of us. But they were like, you have to do every good stuff on a daily basis that's in your control.
Yes.
You know, because everything that's happening, it's completely out of my control. There's nothing that I can do. Yeah. So reaching out to people that I know who are from these places or can educate me better, or they can know that I'm just at least thinking about them. You know,
when
someone is from a country that's at war, I mean, just sending a text being like, I'm thinking of you and your family makes somebody feel really good. And I think right now we're just all fighting over what's wrong and right.
And it's I'm like, all the energy,
so energetically wrong.
Yeah, like, what are we doing here? Like, we need, like, as, again, as silly as it sounds, we need to unite, come together, and understand things, not sit here and spend all of our energy going, you're not doing it right, or you're not posting on and your platform enough, or whatever. Not,
and I think that's,
and I'm like, I'm doing shit behind the scenes, man.
I know,
like,
that's how I feel.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's important to just know that not everything needs to be this, like, repost on Instagram to show the world, like, where you stand.
Yeah. I'm not here to tell everyone and make everyone feel okay with it. Mm-hmm. I'm here to actually make change. Mm-hmm. And that's going to look different sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I feel, I remember in 2020 when child trafficking was really getting a lot of talk, it debilitated me. It's my biggest trigger and some of my biggest philanthropic and charitable work and stuff is trafficking, because children are my thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being so debilitated when the news, like, just the global frequency, I was like, thank God it's coming out, but it is knocking me on my ass. I couldn't serve. I couldn't work. And I work with a lot of the therapists who work with the victims. And so I was like, I am just worthless right now. And I called one of my friends and I was like, what is going on? And she's this beautiful, intuitive person. And she's like, Mandy, know your place. I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, you help them. And, you know, she kind of reiterated my work to me of like, here's how you are doing things, because I know everyone needs to hear that somewhere inside of themselves. But she's like, you are bringing in an energy and healing people with trauma so that they don't continue that trauma to others. She goes, you go straight to the root. You're here putting the love in and healing that. She goes, you don't belong in the tunnel with a gun, even though I know you'd do it if I told you to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, know my place. And then I thought about it and I'm like, everybody was doing the thing that, you know, God, source, whatever, put them here to do. We wouldn't even have all of this darkness. We wouldn't have all of this, but it's this false sense of separation and confusion of who we have to be, because everyone's looking at us or expecting us to be something. So then we become inauthentic to it, even if it seems for a good cause. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't solve the damn thing.
Totally.
It's such a weird entanglement. But
no, but I've been tossing all of this in my head for the last 6 months because it doesn't feel right to just be so reactionary.
Yeah.
But I love what you just said, know your place, because I think What can't that be applied to?
Right.
Like
even
if someone's coming to me and I'm like, oh, I feel this is boiling up some feelings for me, I could really settle myself by just saying, what? No, my place.
Yeah.
Okay. My place is that I was doing something that I thought was lovely, coming from a lovely place, sharing something. I was being vulnerable.
Yeah.
That wasn't being received from someone. That's their stuff.
Yes. I think when you know your intention, that helps you feel good with yourself. Like for myself, if I know that my intention is pure and I'm coming with my personal integrity, then I know that everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah.
Whether people don't resonate or don't receive or do and everything in between, I know that the people I'm supposed to help or the people who should be in my life will show up because I'm being authentic. And that's enough for me, you know?
Healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water. It's about drinking water and electrolytes, which makes sense. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat. Both need to be replaced to prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips that result from dehydration and low electrolytes, which apparently is very common. And most people just replace the water. Enter Element. It has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, zero artificial colors, and none of the yucky, dodgy ingredients that hold you back. The evidence suggests that we should shoot for 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams of sodium, 3,500 to 5,000 milligrams of potassium, and 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium per day from diet supplements. If that sounds like a lot of sodium, consider that athletes can lose up to 7 grams of sodium per day just through sweat. And most people fall short on electrolytes. Sodium restriction, for instance, is celebrated as heart healthy, but in reality, restricting sodium to fewer than 2.3 grams a day has been linked to higher rates of heart attack and stroke. I'm going to tell you this. Besides the science, Element tastes delicious. It's incredibly refreshing. It has made me feel so good during this pregnancy. And I'm not kidding when I tell you I add one to my water every day. I have a giant container of water next to me and I have the citrus flavor in there right now. Element has all your electrolyte needs covered. You're guaranteed to find an Element flavor that you love. Fan favorites are, like I said, citrus salt, raspberry salt. You can get spicy mango chili or mix salt chocolate into your morning coffee for a mean mocha. Element came up with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drinkelement.com/Pia and you get a free sample pack with any purchase. That's drinkelement.com/Pia. These days, a lot of people are learning about the benefits of fasting, like weight loss, mental and physical performance, and gut health. But worrying about the whole not eating part is real. And that's exactly why Prolon was created. Just for background here, I have been doing Prolon, oh my God, since before my wet, for like over 6 years. And I don't even do it for the weight part. I do it because it makes me and Davide feel incredible. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe that they're fasting. And I found out about it from the doctor who developed it. It was researched and developed for decades at USC in their Longevity Institute. And it's backed by leading US medical centers. Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. It's not a diet. It's a science. It's a science-based, Nobel Prize-winning discovery in medicine. And it just starts with this five-day program. You have snacks, soups, beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state, but you get to eat, which is honestly incredible. It's really not like anything you've ever experienced. I personally like to do it on like a quarterly basis. Again, it's like not even about weight. It's about what it really does for my energy and my all-over health. My brain, I can think so clearly. Like getting your body in autophagy for 5 days is really unbelievable. And I urge you to listen to any of the podcasts or YouTubes about Prolon because the science is just really there. It's really incredible. It's really no wonder that thousands of doctors recommend Prolon to support healthy blood sugar and cardiovascular health. And right now, Prolon is offering Everything is the Best listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. So go to prolonlife.com/best. That is prolonlife.com/best for the special offer. That's prolonlife.com/best. What are some of your go-tos? Oh, you didn't even, some of your go-tos for that like daily, like how do you clear yourself of like the exhaustion of life, like on a daily basis to create a higher vibration?
Kind of going back to that, like emotional check-in is me becoming aware of my emotions and why they exist. Mm. And again, there's always a beautiful root that's attached to it that comes from something in the past. But the most simplistic thing I had to do, because I was like in fight or flight all the time.
Yeah. You know, for so many of us are.
Aren't we all at some point at least? And I was like, okay, well, I'm either going to die really early or I need to fix this. Like my autonomic nervous system is going to go kaput soon. Totally. And so for myself, it was what I call pattern interrupts. And it's super simple and it's everything, you know, the therapy world talks about it. But every time that I'd find myself in an off energy, of course, in the morning, having a ritual that gets me into the best space I can be in. But then I would check in and be like, every hour I had to do, every single hour, and go, where am I at? How am I feeling? What emotions came up? And if I found myself off, I'd go, okay, I have 60 minutes to review in the past of what happened that caused that. Because sometimes there's like these micro triggers and we don't realize what happened, but I just had to become really aware of myself. Mm. And it was annoying at first. Oh my gosh. I was like, I feel like shit all the time. I thought I was doing better than I was. But it was just feedback. Instead of me getting more emotional about it, I was like, let me just see what this is. And so once I started seeing, I'm actually running through like a cycle of emotions. There's kind of a theme to this now that I'm checking in and seeing what emotions are running through me every hour. And then once I saw that, I'd go, okay, most often I'm sitting in guilt or shame or, you know, whatever that may be. Now, when that comes up, I'm going to interrupt it. Mm. And so normally when I experience a trigger, I will, I don't know, put the blanket over my head and hide, or I'll run, or I'll scream, or, you know, whatever thing I would do that would lead to more of the issue.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what is the healthy interrupt I can do? Whether that's like dropping down and twerking like an idiot, dancing in the mirror and laughing, you know, hugging my husband instead of yelling at it, whatever it was, I'd be like, how can I go as far in the opposite of the energy of what I'd normally do so that I can finally disrupt this neurological pathway? Mm. And then you continue to do that so much that you've scratched the disc. Cool. So all that, you know, literally your brain starts to rewire itself and then all that stuff stops showing up. You're not living in a triggered state. Everything changes from there. So it's just, I mean, for me, it was neuroscience. Yeah. Starting with the way my brain was wired and getting it to stop firing that way. And that was just through what emotions, because emotions are exactly what's going to shoot that electricity through. What emotions do I not like? Do I not want to continue to have myself wired as such? And then let me interrupt it to where I don't get like the reward of fully.
Yeah, you don't get that reward.
Yeah, following through.
I listened to a podcast this morning called Broken Record where some doctor came on. It was like a group of people talking about happiness. And they were saying that it's scientifically proven that when you speak to yourself in the third person in your brain, you know, you can take advice from somebody else, but you can never take it from yourself.
Yeah.
That if instead of saying, why did I do this? I'm so stupid. Da, 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 da.
Yep.
If in that moment, if you say, could you have done better? Sure. But, you know, you had a long day and you tried your best and that's fine. Like working through things, like really talking to yourself.
It's like external validation.
Yeah.
I remember when I would get super triggered and I was like, this is a big one. Like this one keeps showing up. I can't just interrupt my way through this one. I would literally take five steps back. I teach my therapists and my coaches that I train now this. We take, it's called the five steps back method, but we take five steps back. I physically would do it. And then I have a whiteboard and I would go, Mandy is triggered. And then I would like web diagram. What am I telling myself? Why am I triggered? What's like, it was just this beautiful, like understanding of myself, but because it was outside of me, I could actually look at it instead of being so emotional about it, you know?
Oh, I love that. Cause I do think we, I mean, it's like, I saw something the other day that was so funny. Someone, I was like, almost like a me, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, we all have to be so exhausted about our own shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, and it's too much, you know, but it's like, it's, you just got to do this work for a short period of time and then we can all just be like free.
Yes.
Why do you think we're so avoidant of pain?
This is something I'm stealing it from my husband, but he always says like healing is not a lifelong sentence. It's a time in your life that when you do it and you do it right, then it's done. Like I don't have things and I have been through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's so nice because it just feels like I don't have to do this forever.
Yeah,
like
no.
Let's just get it over. Let's just get it.
Yeah.
And then live our nice life.
Yeah. And healing doesn't have to be super hard either. Mm. Like I believe I have made healing fun as I can. I have to have fun with it. I want rewards to it. It doesn't have to be sitting in the chair, as I call it, for 20 years rehashing the same shit. It can be, let me finally really like understand myself. And once you understand yourself and you're pouring kind of, I call it the frequency of love, but coherence into you, like the world's your oyster. So I think it's just the false perception that there's a stigma to it, that you'll get into a rut that you won't be able to get yourself out of. Cause sometimes people are like, I've been through too much. If I relive that, I'm going to be stuck in fight or flight, or I'll be stuck in my 2-year-old self or, you know, whatever like thing. And although that could be true, if it's not done with the right person or in the right way or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be true. Thank God. And I mean, I've done my clinical work. I've done all that stuff. I've seen people like hooked up to all the technologies as I'm doing this work with them. So I can say for my left brainers, like it's totally valid. We can get the brain to release incredible things very fast if we do it right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what manifestation looks like when you're in that good place.
It's magic. I feel like instead of being, because I kind of sit at this place now, someone just recently asked me, like, what do you ask for anymore when you manifest? And I'm like, I don't really ask for much because I've reached this frequency where I feel good. I like the way I feel. And we don't usually want the thing anyways. We want the emotional experience.
Oh yeah, I
want
to talk about that too, is that you always talk about that we don't want the thing. We're looking for the feeling.
Yeah. So I'm already in the feeling. Like I already feel the way I want to feel every day. And when I don't, I have the tools to where I can get myself to that. And cool shit just shows up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm already there. So, I mean, of course, sometimes I'm like, ooh, I want to do this and I'll be intentional or something. But manifestation in the daily now is just me getting myself to my peak state and knowing that all the amazing things are going to show up. And of course, I'm going to seize them. I'm going to take action. It's not like I just, you know, I'm not sitting duck, but it's just beautiful stuff shows up.
Yeah, which is so cool. And it's the stuff that you need.
Yes.
That you don't know that you necessarily
And it becomes a soulful journey instead of like what manifestation sometimes has become, which is I want the next big thing or I want the 3D stuff. And I'm by all means, I have been poor as can be. I know what it feels like to not be able to buy food and stuff. But at some point, like those basic needs are met. And then you're like, I'm just kind of like hanging out on the island. I'm not treading water. I'm not drowning anymore. Like what's next for me? And for me, it's serving people and enjoying my life and you know, doing trauma work, all that stuff that I love, but that's just my natural state of being. So everything takes care of itself from there.
We've been doing a really good job at home of looking at each other and being like, if this is it, we're so lucky.
Yeah.
You know, like
Everything else is a cherry on top.
What more can we ask for? But then I see very clearly, it's almost like I'm living it already, what our next steps are.
Yeah.
Like in my head, they're already there. It's just the timing of it.
Totally.
It'll come when, you know, I got to do these few things, but the timing is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
But it's there waiting for me.
Yeah. And that's surrender, which is like the best place to be when you're manifesting. Cause we tend to white knuckle, right?
Yeah.
And then instead we're like, I'm open to the possibilities, but I can feel or anticipate something awesome is coming. That's like,
it gets hard for me because, you know, like the logistic steps of getting there are like, my graphic designer hasn't gotten back to me with my deck in the last 3 weeks and I can't raise money until, you know, and I need to get the money before July to get the, you know, it's like those things, but just being a little bit more pragmatic and removing it. Like sometimes I'll get emotional about it, but I keep saying like, I have to remove the emotion from this and just be like more pragmatic about it.
And then also like when things are getting sticky, be like, I wonder why it's showing up like this. Totally. Why is it not easeful?
Yeah, why does everybody not respect my timeline?
Yeah, what's showing up here for me to learn and like grow from? And I think when you, like my husband and I literally, when we start getting triggered or like shit starts hitting the fan, we roll up our sleeves and we get a little excited because we know we're about to make a quantum leap towards more magic.
Oh my God, cool. Yeah, what is fighting the fuck in your house? It really is non-existent.
Lots of conscious conversations. I went on Good Day LA a couple days ago and they're like, do you ever yell at your kids? I was like, I actually don't. And I was like, no shame. But I genuinely don't like yell. I grew up in a yelling household anyway, so it's just not my jam. But I'm like, we have so many tools that we can, you know, stay chill and figure out what's going on. And usually, again, even if it seems like something we don't want to experience, when we lean into it, it actually has a gift for us there. And it's showing us something that's going to help us along in our path, not there to screw it up.
If someone say there's like, because I know some people who will say like, oh, when my husband and I fight or my partner and I fight, like I just say like, I'm not available for this. Mm. But that can really piss off your partner. You know, that can make it worse.
If they're like, I want connection right now, this feels like abandonment.
Totally.
Yeah.
So how do you, you know, I just want to talk about this because I really want to get into kid stuff with you. Then how do you, you know, like say something is popping up with you and your husband or, you know, any advice you have, it's like, how do you respectfully hear what your partner's having to say when they're trying to like keep it up here, but you're really trying to protect yourself and maybe like would, you know.
So when we're doing it right, which we've had almost 10 years of figuring this one out, so we're getting a lot better with it. First and foremost is we open up the space. So we ask permission. Are you in the space to talk about something that's a little bit heavier, a little bit difficult? And we have the right to say, give me 5 minutes. Mm. And then we get into the state to where we're receptive. So we've kind of, instead of going, I need to talk about something, blah, 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 and then they're like, whoa, like I was in business mode or I'm in mommy mode or I'm trying to fix dinner or whatever. It's, do you have time for this? And I respect you. And so we're kind of coming into it with like love and, you know, all that stuff. So it's not this anxious, like, you're going to call me out on something. Are we going to, you know, whatever. And that's like the starting point. And then throughout the conversation, we've been really good about when we can find that we're getting triggered and we're pulling back into like one little unhealed part of us, we'll call it out lovingly. Like, hey, I think this is, you know, your dad's thing coming up or whatever. But because we genuinely have each other's best interest, it's not like it's your dad coming out or, you know, whatever. It's not attacky that we can receive it. And so then we're like, oh, shoot. And then it's this incredible healing energy that comes in because we're like, oh, I was seeing it through my mom's eyes or I was seeing it through whatever. And then it further creates connection. And I think once you have such a strong connection with your partner, you're like, we're unstoppable, you know? So I don't know.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing gives me naked confidence like my gym routine. Makes me feel like I'm really doing my best for my body. And it gives me a little bit of like a pep in my step. But a very close second would be my Lumi whole body deodorant. If you're like me, you've probably seen the ads or the videos for Lumi all over TikTok. And one day I just did it. I was like, I need to know what this is all about. And it's honestly incredible. It's unlike any other deodorants. Lumi is powered by mandelic acid. So it delivers this incredibly outrageous, like 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet. And yes, even your private parts. In fact, it was patients' concern about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Flash forward 6 years and her game-changing body deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident head to toe. What an incredible discovery as an OB, by the way. Like, you're really solving a major problem that I'm sure women were confiding in her about all the time. Listen, I get out of the shower, I just put a little dab of that Lumi cream in my hand and I just rub it in like various crevices and I know that I am good for 72 hours. I keep putting it in front of Davide, like, hint, hint. And he keeps being like, why are you trying to do this to me? But I'm telling you, like, it's an incredible feeling to go that long and know that you're not going to get, like, any funky smells anywhere. New customers can get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. So just use code Pia at LumiDeodorant.com. That is LumiDeodorant.com. Beast Health was founded in 2021 by Colin Sapphire, the former founder and CEO of Nutribullet. Beast is a health and wellness brand that specializes in best-in-class tools for blending and hydration. Yes, their products are meant to catch your eye. However, 25 plus years of industry experience means that they are taking blending very seriously. The Beast Blender is powerful, simple, easy to clean, and beautiful enough to display on your countertop. If you follow me on Instagram, you have seen my beautiful Beast Blender being used on a daily basis for years. Everybody always asks me what blender it is because it's chic as hell. And it's very, 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 very powerful. Honestly, it's replaced all of our other blenders. And the Beast's new mini blender, first of all, it's adorable. And it's a compact version of their original award-winning blender with a smaller countertop footprint. And it starts at just $99. Plus, it comes in three beautiful new colors. The Beast mini blender is perfect for dips, dressing, desserts, and can even replace other clunky kitchen appliances for jobs like grinding, chopping, mincing, whipping, and more. Think of it as your 600-watt kitchen sidekick that helps you conveniently consume more whole foods. And what I love so much is you can just attach the straw directly to the blender cup and take your smoothie on the go. Making protein and nutrient-rich smoothies in the Beast is so helpful during pregnancy when fatigue and food aversions make it really difficult to plan meals. I'm sure you've seen many smoothies on my Instagram lately. Visit thebeast.com and use code BEST at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That is THEBEAST.com and use code BEST for 15% off. Okay, what are we doing with our kids?
I can tell you what I'm doing. I don't know if it's the right thing, but
but I love what you say about, I view my daughter like this so wholly that I don't, like, yes, she's my daughter, but that is a soul.
Yeah, on her own journey.
That is on her own. And, you know, she has delays. My daughter's also, I haven't even know if I've said this on it. My daughter's incredibly intuitive and she plays with ghosts.
Love it.
Everyone's going to think I'm a freak for saying
that. All kids do, whether we, you know, they're not, they haven't shut it off yet. You know what I mean?
Hers is more intense. You know, I've had lots of nieces and nephews. There's been a lot of kids in our house. I've seen it. It's more intense than your average child.
So she's gifted.
Oh my God. My mom and I last night it was 2 hours after she should have been asleep. She was belly laughing, playing with someone in her room, in her crib. Like, belly. We look at each other like, how is that?
What is,
you know,
this?
What I mean? Who is in there with her? You know, my dad died in the house. There's a lot of energy. And I do need to get it cleared out because I think it's exhausting for her. She's too little and she's too sensitive.
Yeah.
But it does very much make me view her. Like, I am in awe of her. Not in a way, and I think people do this a lot where they think their kids are these, like, magical things and you don't, like, parent them appropriately. And you, like, hold them up on a pedestal that's really unrealistic. Like, she's still a human. She's going to make human choices and I have to help her through.
Yeah.
But I do very much view her and him. I feel his soul so deeply already in his personality and stuff. So how do we, like, respect those things? And, like, you know, a child's, like, soulful purpose and parent.
Again, kids are my trigger. So I'm not saying that this is, like, the most evolved way to go about it. But this is how I have gone about it. Because my oldest son is my bonus son from my husband's previous marriage. But he's with us full time. And so I'm, you know.
What are their ages?
We've got 13, 4.5, and 9 months.
Oh, congratulations.
So every stage of life. Yeah. It's wild.
Peak newborn, peak toddler, peak teenager.
Everything, yes. It's wild. But, you know, with him, I was like, I need to protect him. Like, they'd say, I think from, like, birth to 12, you parent. And from, like, I think it's like 12 to 16, I could be butchering this, 12 to 16, you guide. And then from 16 on, like, you kind of befriend. Mm. And I've really lived by that, unaware that that was kind of like the rule of thumb, because I could feel when my son, my oldest, was turning the 12, I was like, I am not supposed to mama bear you anymore. Like, you have to learn these tools. So I'm going to have to let you, like, get uncomfortable.
Totally.
And I have to watch you go through it. And I'm going to want to jump in. And I will never let something harm you to the point of, like, trauma and distress. Totally. But you have to build resiliency because I overprotected him at times too. Mm. And so I think that that's that balance is like, what do you actually want your children to become? Like, I want strong, capable children in this world. I want good men in this world. You know, I have all boys. And I want them to make the world a better place. That's my selfish desires, whether they choose to do that or not. Yeah, like go out and do good, you know? Yeah. And also because I have healed so much of my trauma, I'm not giving them a whole lot, totally. You know? I mean, cool. we're all going to do something, but I'm not giving them a whole lot. So where are they going to get their resiliency? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I still got to throw them into the world safely in some way so that I can, you know, watch them do dangerous things safely, I guess would be the thing. And so I'm just, every day I'm like, how can I?
Who said that? That one guy
says
that.
I can't remember. I heard it online and I was like, I love that.
It's a guy who says a lot of amazing things and then he says some things that are really fucked up, like calling the plus size swimsuit models fat. But I know. And I was like, damn, I really wish she wasn't fatphobic.
We liked you for a second.
Because everything else he said was so great. But it was like a sound on TikTok.
Maybe that's all I heard.
Yeah, but it's so beautiful because it's, And then I saw, it was funny because you know how you start to I don't know if this is manifesting things or if just the universe trying to send you a message, but then that started popping up a lot for me.
Yeah.
This idea of like, don't solve the problem for them.
Yes. Yeah. You strip them of their power. Mm-hmm. And I totally did that with my oldest in moments because I was seeing that it was going to debilitate him otherwise. But now he's reaching this cool age in the past, maybe a couple of years, because we started to make this transition. And he'd be like, why aren't you helping me with this? Why don't you want to sit down and talk about my problem for, you know, an hour or whatever? And I'd be like, I love you. Go jump on the trampoline and think about it. And then tell me if you still feel the same way. And first, he was thinking I didn't love him anymore. And I'm like, I'm like, no, baby, like, you're getting older, you're getting so smart and you have to learn these things. And so mom is just, you know, whatever. And now he's really getting it. And it was a sticky moment, as we all get with our kids. It was a sticky moment, but he was like, okay, I get it. Like, he can feel my full love again, mm-hmm. but he also now has tools that he can pull by himself so that he can go out into the world and, you know, be the person that he needs to be versus, you know, I end up like coddling him and he becomes like one of those kids who's like obsessed with their mom. You know what I mean? Yeah, that weird thing.
How do you not, I mean, I haven't raised my voice to Carmela yet, but like, how do you not raise your voice to your toddler? You know, like, by the way, you've got to be honest. Do you have chill kids?
My oldest just went through a lot. So he was quiet, but tons of
anxiety.
There's
a lot going on.
Underneath the surface. And then my toddler is an absolute menace. I love him so much. And he's so sweet. He's so smart. He's very emotional and all that. And he is a very stubborn child. So he'll just hit these points where he's like, no. And
I'm like, so how are you calmly dealing with it? I mean, you're super healed. So
it took a lot, let me tell you. There's some moments where I just stare at him and I'm like,
any tips you have for the rest of us who haven't reached your level of healing yet?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but like, do the healing, right? And it's okay to, I know that there's like a stigma on like distancing yourself for a moment. It's not like you emotionally disconnect because that can become very unhealthy for a child. But like, it's okay to be like, mom's going to take 10 deep breaths. You can take them with me. You don't have to, whatever it may be. And it's just that breathing. And for me, it was reminding myself like, they don't have the faculties I have. They do not have the ability to regulate. And for me, that builds compassion to where I'm like, this is all you can do in this moment. Totally. Like, you're going to freak out. You're going to scream, yell, you know, stomp your feet, whatever.
I feel nothing when she has tantrums.
Yeah, you're just like, okay, you're having a moment.
Like, yeah, I'm just like, sometimes we'll laugh too and like throw ourselves on the ground because she'll be, you know, she's so cute. And she's like, ah, and we'll be
That's
like,
the hard part. They're so cute. You're like, oh. I just go,
which
okay,
is probably
I'm ready
horrible
for
her. She's like, you're making fun of
she's
me
like,
in
what
my
is
darkest
this?
Moment.
But for me, it's, you know, I get down on his level. Mm-hmm. I'm on my knees and I'm like, when you're ready, like, do you want a hug?
That's what I do too. I don't force a hug on her. Yeah. I make
just you know hold you when you're ready.
I've been working, which has been great. This is happening in her room, I will calmly sit down at her table and I'll start playing with her toys in front of her.
I like that.
And I just joyfully play with her things, like knowing that she's going to want to do that too. And she'll watch me until she's ready and then she'll join me.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to just transition her out.
I like
of,
that. I think the biggest thing is just, dealing with the child based on their level of development. Like, I'm not going to, you know, sit there and just wait. My 13-year-old doesn't really cry anymore because he'll process his emotions prior to that. But, you know, when he's going through something, I'm going to deal with it differently, of course. Like, do you want a hug, bud? Do you want me to make you a smoothie? You want to go jump on the trampoline for a little bit? You want to talk later? You know, whatever. And then my toddler, I'm like, I'm holding space. I'm sitting there, like, rubbing his back or, you know, not touching him if he doesn't want to be, whatever it is. It's just like, hey, I'm here. I'm just holding space. Just like we want.
Crazy thing. Don't hug me. Touch me. Be available for a hug. I don't want to be hugged too much.
Only the side of the head. Yeah, totally. But I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm in for it. I love you enough for it. And that's okay. And once you're calmer, we're going to talk about our deep breaths that we forgot to take. We're going to, you know, once they're a little bit more chill. Because I will say, like, my little four-year-old, he's been doing deep breaths since he was like a year and a half. But it's because he sees us doing it. So he doesn't have a whole lot of blow-ups outside of when he hasn't had enough protein. He's had too much sugar. You know, it's those simple things that cause for him to dysregulate. But other than
if
that,
you can,
he's
label
like,
the things too, it feels a lot more. Yes. You know, if she had like a, I can't remember where, but recently she like, you know, didn't have a nap and had a bunch of sugar.
Yeah, and you're like, this is what I get.
And I was like, this is just what, there's no, she just got, poor thing just has to go through the consequences of having like four pieces of cake at lunch. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to end on, I always like to give the people any daily realistic tips for our listeners, something they could do when they wake up in the morning, something to do before they go to bed, something they can do when they get an email that's annoying, like any, even if it's just one tip.
Yeah.
Like what is something that's like an active practice that people can implement into their lives?
I would say, because most people are walking around triggered or getting triggered, I would utilize what I called the 5 steps back method. Okay. So any moment that you feel triggered, you can physically, if you're in a space where you can, take 5 steps back and go, I'm distancing myself from the situation, or maybe it's 5 breaths, whatever it is, but just taking an extra moment to process before reacting, and it will change your life.
Life changing.
Yeah. It's just that little bit of, oh my gosh, this is what I was telling myself. And then you don't react the same way. So the outcome actually shifts.
Also, for all of our female listeners, this is very good for your cortisol levels.
Yes. Yeah, we need to chill that sucker out because we're all walking around way too high. Yeah,
absolutely. I have to say, and we'll link everything obviously in the description, but your Instagram in itself, like, is just such a good thing to have in someone's feed.
Yes.
You provide so much lovely, helpful information.
Thank you.
And I think, you know, Instagram's not going anywhere. I love it. It's the reason why a lot of us are able to make money and thrive. But I think the more that we can have our feeds be full of positive messages rather than things that are disruptive, and yours is a very safe, beautiful space for that. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Manifest with Mandy.
Right? And the book is out, right?
Yeah. The book is out as of the 19th.
Great.
So
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes this week's episode of Everything is the Best. I hope you enjoyed it. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Maybe leave a comment. But remember, shitty comments are for shitty people. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Pia Barangini. And I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous rest of your day. Love you. Ciao.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.